So for those of you who are taking notes tonight, the title of what I want to share is Grace Flows to Those Who Are Humble. Yeah, it's a long one. It's scriptural, eh? So a few weeks ago, in my quiet time, I'm busy reading the New Testament again, and I started with Matthew. That's where it starts. And this particular morning, I was going to read Matthew chapter 5. And before I read Matthew chapter 5, I already thought, I kind of know what it's about, you know? I know what it's about. So I had the attitude, you know, that I knew what the Beatitudes was about, because that is what Matthew 5 is about. But I want to encourage you guys, if you're taking notes, write down, go read. I'm going to give you homework. Go read Matthew chapter 5 to Matthew chapter 7. That's the whole Sermon on the Mount. You'll see in Matthew chapter 7, it says, when he finished these sayings, that's when he finished the sermon. So that's just to heads up. And a lot of the things that I'm going to mention tonight is in those chapters. So I might go through some of the stuff a little bit faster than the other stuff. So as I was reading that morning, and I did posture myself, so I did start there, you know, with a, you know, almost a familiar attitude towards what I'm going to read. And then I said, God, oh God, won't you show me something new? Won't you open up the scriptures to me? And he did. And Stefan, I had a chat with Stefan in the week, and I think he said, God rewards those who seek him, diligently seek him, eh? That's right, and he does. I want to encourage you guys, seek him. So as I was reading Matthew chapter 5, two portions of scripture stood out, Matthew chapter 5 verse 3 to 5, and Matthew chapter 5 verse 20. So I'm going to read Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 to 5 first, and we're going to look at three different translations. Because that's how, so you know when the Lord highlights something, it's like he highlights his portion, he's like, you zoom in on that thing, and you're like, what is God trying to say here? And then, you know, that's just me, and this morning, I looked at three different translations to see, what is God trying to say? You know, just the Bible, no commentaries. Commentaries are good, but this is what the Lord used this morning. I'm not saying anything about commentaries here, guys. So let's start. Matthew chapter 5 in the ESV first. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And now the NLT. It says, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. There's a little bit more information there. For the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. God blesses those who are humble. So now the word humble is used instead of meek. Just to give us a bit more information. For they will inherit the whole earth. And now we're going to look at the Amplified. So the Amplified, if you haven't read the Amplified here, it basically just amplifies certain words to give you a bit more information of what that word is. Potentially could mean, just to give you just an idea of what Jesus was trying to say, because Jesus was preaching here now. So it says blessed, and then next to blessed it says spiritually prosperous, happy, to be admired, or the poor in spirit. So who are they? So it gives a bit more information here. Those devoid of spiritual arrogance, those who regard themselves as insignificant, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, both now and forever. Blessed, forgiven, refreshed by God's grace are those who mourn over what? Over their sins and repent, for they shall be comforted when the burden of sin is lifted. Blessed, inwardly peaceful, spiritually secure, worthy of respect are the gentle. Now the word gentle is used and it gives a bit more information there as well. The kind-hearted, the sweet-spirited, the self-controlled, for they will inherit the earth. So as we just read that, blessed are the poor in spirit, are not those who are financially poor. That's not what Jesus is trying to say there. He says, blessed are those who realize that they need God. Those who are not spiritually prideful. Those who say and know, I am a wretched and weak man. I need God. Blessed are those who mourn over what? Now, in Christ, we will be comforted one day. One day, he will wipe away every tear. There will be no more sin, no more death, no more crying. But this scripture is not referring to that scripture, that glorious day that will happen. What he's saying in there is, blessed are those who mourn over their sins because they realize that they are spiritually poor and need God. Blessed are the meek, the humble, the gentle, the kind-hearted, those who understand their dependency on God, who receive comfort and forgiveness for their sins, who themselves imitate their Savior, who is meek, humble, and gentle. These men and women that we just read about here, they are blessed, they are blessed. These men and women are blessed because salvation is near to the humble. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 5 verse 20. Right, so it says there, "For I tell you." So if you see that, "For I tell you," that's a good indication to read what's just before that. So we're not going to do that now. So just before that, Jesus said, "I'm not here to come. I haven't come to abolish the law. I came here to fulfill the law." And anyone who wants to relax any of the moral law shouldn't do that. Keep it. He says, keep the law. He came to fulfill the law. And then he says this, what he says about the Pharisees and the scribes. He says, "Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never, never enter the kingdom of heaven." Who are the Pharisees and the scribes? They are those who are spiritually prideful. They are those who have things figured out. Jesus says, do not be like them. Your righteousness needs to exceed theirs. How? I mean, they are those who know the Bible. They know the law. So what hope do we have in that context now? How can our righteousness exceed theirs? In Christ only. In humility and dependency on Jesus. In obeying Him. In knowing Him. In loving Him. James 4 verse 6 says this: God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. What does opposes mean? It means He's against you. He's not for you. I can do all things through Christ. Not if you're pride, full of pride. No ways. He's against you. He's not for you. Last week, Stefan preached about grace. God wants to give us grace. God gives grace to the humble. Grace flows towards humility. And if you read the Amplified Version of James 4 verse 6, which we're not going to do right now, next to the word humble, it gives us a bit more information. It says it is those who are not self-righteous. And then it gives a cross-reference to another scripture, Proverbs 3 verse 34, which is the scripture that James was quoting in James 4 verse 6. And next to that word humble, it says it's those who give up self-importance. The humble are not lovers of self and lovers of money. Paul said that to Timothy. This is how the last days will look like. We are here now, guys. That is, we are a generation of lovers of self, lovers of money. And we like to say we're the selfie generation. Yeah, man, I'm like, we need to go deeper than that. We're selfish in the heart, not just in the outward appearances, to the core. We desperately need God. We are lovers of self, lovers of money. We are those who are self-righteous and self-reliant. We are prideful if we are left to our own devices. And just with pride, pride and closeness or intimacy with God do not coincide. They don't go together. It's like oil and water. They don't mix. That doesn't work. There's no intimacy. There's no intimacy if we're stuck in pride. God is looking for a people who are humbly dependent on Him, who deeply love Him. He's looking for a people who have faith in Him and who love Him and who do not love the things of God and who boast about the things of God. He doesn't want you to have faith in your actions or your deeds or the fruit of your life. That is relying on your own understanding and acknowledging yourself in all of your ways. And this is the story of many Christians. Myself included. We start with Jesus, you know. We start that salvation with God. We throw up our hands and say, God, I need a Savior. I need a Savior. I need You. And I humble myself before Him. And then after a while, I pick up knowledge, and then I get good at being a good Christian. And I learned the, you know, the ABCs of Christianity. And before I know it, I don't need God anymore. Now I rely on my own understanding. And the Bible warns us about this. Knowledge puffs up. Love builds up. The danger is, if we have a lot of knowledge, we can subconsciously start to look down on other people. We can say, well, who are you? I'm a leader. I know more than you. Therefore, in my heart, I'm going to disregard you. And this is what I was guilty of this. A few weeks ago, the Lord highlighted this to me. And in community, I told Yohandre, we were praying together. I said, the Lord highlighted this to me. Sometimes I have this posture, just because I think I know more. Then I posture my heart that way. It's like, actually I know more. Not really going to listen. Not really going to tune in now. But thank God. Thank goodness for God that He showed me my heart. It is His kindness to show me my heart so that I can repent, so that I can turn towards Him and His ways and receive grace and mercy. Guys, we think we know a lot, but actually we know very, very little. And Mike DeFay once said, and maybe he said it more than this, the more I know about God, the more I realize how little I know about God. So what is the example of humility that we actually, what is the thing that we're actually going to aim for here? You know, what does the Bible teach us? You know, if you want to aim for humility, what do we aim for? I think Philippians 2 verse 1 to 8. We're going to read that together. Audrey, do you have that one? Okay. We're going to read it just now. But just before we go into it, Steve preached about a lot of these things in the beginning of the year. I don't know if you guys remember the beginning of the year. Steve preached out of Romans. So a lot of the stuff that was mentioned in Romans is mentioned in this portion of scripture. That just serves as a reminder of what God is asking us to aim for. And then if you are taking notes, Stefan taught us somewhere a few weeks ago how to read your Bible. There's a list in here. So let's see if you guys can get the list. All right, let's read it together. This is a long one. You ready? So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but say together, humility. Humility. Count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others, having this mind among yourselves, which is in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So in reading that, and I don't want you to put up your hand, just say yes or no in your heart. How well do you guys think we are doing in this? You know, how well do you guys think we are doing in having the same mind, the same love, one mind, not having selfish ambition or conceit? Counting others more significant than yourself. Not looking to your own interest only. Being humble and obedient like Jesus by emptying yourself completely and dying to self. There's the list, if you wanted it. I can give it to you afterwards. Now, I don't know about you, but I fall, and I want to use the word drastically, I fall drastically short of Philippians 2, verse 1 to 8. I don't fully measure up to that standard. And just a spoiler alert, if you thought you were doing well, I don't want to break your heart. I really don't want to break your heart. And I'm not a doctor. Where's Andre? I'm not a doctor, but you might just have a mild to severe case of spiritual pride. But don't worry. The prayer of a righteous man or woman is powerful and effective, so there will be prayer afterwards. Just joking, but also not joking. That is the state of our heart sometimes. Up in there. All right, but you might be wondering now, okay, maybe, hopefully you're there. Maybe I'm not doing as great as I thought I was doing. But come on, Emil. Where's the encouragement? Huh? Where's the encouragement? Come on, man. Where's the hope? Huh? Okay, I actually do have some encouragement for us tonight. All right, the encouragement is this. We cannot do it. We cannot meet the standard of Philippians 2, verse 1 to 8. Cannot. If you actually, in actual fact, if you read the whole Bible and you read things that say, do this or do that, I want to encourage you tonight. You can't do it. And it is actually hopeless to even try. All right? You can maybe try, like Matthew 7 says. That's why you need to go read Matthew 7. Maybe you can try to prophesy in his name. Or maybe you can try to do many miracles in his name. But then Jesus might just say to you, I don't know you. Get away from me, you worker of lawlessness. Or Jesus might say to you, like he says in Matthew 25, there were things that I wanted you to do, but you didn't do it. And then we can say, but I didn't know I was supposed to do those things. And you won't. You won't know what God wants you to do if you don't know him. That is the indictment of Matthew 7. We don't know him. And I won't know it. I won't know it if I don't have a personal relationship with him. Yeah. The whole Bible, how we should live, what we should do, what we shouldn't do, we fall dramatically short of the standard for what the Bible teaches. We fall dramatically short of God's standard. We desperately need God. We cannot do it. But he can. But he can. Jesus did everything that we can't do. There is good news for you tonight. There is hope. Jesus did everything perfectly. And he is helping us, say us, to become more like him. Jesus did everything perfectly, and he gives us the power to do what we cannot do. And he gives us the Holy Spirit as our helper. But the key is, say it with me, humility. Yeah, that was the word, humility. I thought you guys wouldn't catch it by this stage. Anyways, Proverbs 3, let's read that together, verse 5 to 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Now, how does that look like? Be not wise in your own eyes. Lean not on your own understanding. How does it look like? I think Micah 6 verse 8 gives us a good idea. And he says there, he has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love, kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. How do we walk humbly with our God? We can only walk humbly with our God if he is in fact God and we are not. I can only walk humbly with my God if God is in God over every facet of my life. I don't have boxes in my life. I don't have a church box, a work box, a home life box, an X box, a whatever box. Where God is only God over my church box, but for the rest, I lean on my own understanding. But even in church, God might not be God of my life there. There also, I can lean on my own understanding. If God is not Lord of all of my life, then he is not Lord at all in my life. I'm going to say that again. If God is not Lord of every single thing in my life, then he is not Lord at all in my life. I cannot walk humbly with my God if God is not God over everything in my life, where he is the potter and I am the clay. And Jesus reminds us in John 15 that apart from him, we can do how much? Nothing. Nothing. We are dead. We are just dust. Until he breathes on us. James 3 verse 13. says, who is the wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his work in the meekness of wisdom. And then later on, it says, how does this wisdom look like? It is first pure, peaceable, gentle, and open to reason. I want to ask the question tonight, are you open to reason? Are you open to change your fortified position? If you believe a certain thing and you're stuck there, are you open to reason? If not, maybe ask the Lord to help you. Be not wise in your own understanding. James 4 verse 13 shows how arrogant we are. Let's read it together. Come now, you say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. That's us. That's me, guys. That's me. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. Yeah, tomorrow we're going to do this. Tomorrow we're going to do that. You know, we plan and we do all these things. But God says, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Let me amplify that for you in my own amplified version. You boast in your own understanding. All such boasting is evil, not impartial. Evil. The Bible is clear. We are wise in our own eyes, and even in church, we think we have all the answers. We can be arrogant sometimes. We can say, look at my fruit. Look at my knowledge. Look at my understanding. Look how much I am doing for God. But Paul says, I only boast in the Lord. There is no boasting except in the Lord. There is no boasting. There is only humility before a God who shows us mercy that we do not deserve. We rely on formulas and doing godly things and keep ourselves busy with the things of God, but we don't have time for God. We neglect intimacy with God. We simply just don't have time for it. Guilty as charged there as well. The Lord convicted me of this as well. But, here's some hope again, guys. When we spend time in His presence, being loved by Him and near to Him, He will change us into His image and we will do the things that He wants us to do. The Bible says, seek first Him, His kingdom. Seek Him. All else that is needed will fall into place. When we have intimacy with God, He will change us into the image of Jesus, which is not a prideful and self-reliant image. It is the image of Jesus, the humble lamb who seeks not his own interest, who loves, who is humble, who fully lives for God, where God is the treasure in the field. God is everything. And who only does what the Father wants him to do. Let's maybe close our eyes. I want to land with a parable that Jesus taught in Luke 18, verse 10 to 14. It's a portion of scripture that beautifully sums up humility and pride, a posture of humility and a posture of pride before God. And as I read this, I want to encourage you to let the Lord speak to you. Let the Lord speak to you. Jesus says, two men went up into a temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortionists, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector that's standing with me in the temple. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. My prayer for us is that we will be humbled on this side of eternity. My prayer is that this side of eternity, we will let God search our hearts, that we will humble ourselves before Him, that we will not hold on to pride. God opposes those who are prideful. Blessed are those who know that they are poor in spirit, that they desperately need a Savior, not just once off, but who continually throw themselves into the arms of a merciful God, who acknowledge God in all of their ways, who lean not on their own understanding, who are not spiritually prideful and think that they have it all together, and who look down on others like the Pharisees. I want to encourage us, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God tonight. And He will give you grace. And I want to encourage you, He wants to give you grace tonight. I want to encourage us to repent tonight, if we need to repent, to turn away from pride, to be honest about those things, and to turn to Christ, and He will change you into His image by His power. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank You for Your presence tonight. We thank You, God. Thank You, God, for what You've already done in worship. We've softened our hearts, God. Lord, I pray that You will come now and that You will touch every person's heart right now. Lord, if You want to show us things in our heart that is not pleasing to You, Lord. Lord, I pray that You will give us the faith and the courage to deal with those things. Lord, if we have a posture of arrogance, a posture of pride, Lord, that You will come and soften it. That by Your kindness, that You will come and show us our hearts so that we can repent, that we can turn to You. A merciful God, a merciful God. Lord, we ask that You come and do what You want to do tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's keep our eyes closed. Just want to give us, some of us, an opportunity. For those who have never responded to God, the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who realize that they need a Savior. Romans 3 verse 23 says, all of us, that's every person, has sinned and fall short of the standard, the glory of God. And Matthew 6 verse 23 says that all the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And Romans 10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If that is you tonight and you want to respond to God, say, God, I am a sinner. I am a weak man or woman. I need God. I need God. I need a Savior. I'm not going to make it. More than that, I want a personal relationship with the one who made me. If that is you, you've never responded to God, would you be so bold to put up your hand? We would love to pray with you. If you've never responded to God, you've never given your heart to Him. If that is you, can you maybe raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? We need God. All of us. All of us need God. All He's asking is, humble yourself before Me and I will give you grace. I will give you eternal life. Is there anyone else? If you're maybe feeling shy, please come to speak to one of us afterwards. We'd love to pray with you. But then I also just feel, for those of us, I've spoken quite a bit about a personal relationship with God, or just simply a lack of intimacy. Actually, I want to ask, I just want to read a scripture here. 2 Corinthians 3, 13 verse 5 says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. I want to ask the question, Are you still in relationship with Christ? Are you walking this road with Him? Do you know Him? And I really feel my heart, and this is not a time to be shy. If that is you, like, man, actually, what you said about intimacy, I lack intimacy. I actually don't know if I know Him. I actually don't know if I hear His voice. If that is you, I would also ask you to, just to be so bold, to put your hand up. We would love to pray with you. And I'm trusting that God will fill you with His Holy Spirit.